certain world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise, treasures and faith are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together. Every desire's now satisfied and hearing your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all. You still call me friend. It's the God of the mountain, it's the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Thank you. Praise God. Oh, he is the only one that satisfies. Amen. The only one. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is a new song that I was first introduced to about a month ago. And I absolutely love it because the very first line kind of brings everything into perspective. My worth is not in what I own, not in the strength of flesh and bone, but in the costly wounds of love at the cross. Praise God. Y'all just listen to the words, enter into worship the Lord. Let us rejoice in our Redeemer. My worth is not in what I own, not in the strength of flesh and bone, but in the costly wounds of love at the cross. My worth is not in skill or name, in win or loss, in pride or shame, but in the blood of Christ that flowed at the cross. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I'll trust in him no other, solely satisfied in him alone. The summer flowers fade and die, fame, youth, and beauty hurry by, but life eternal calls to us at the cross. I will not boast in wealth or might, or human wisdom's fleeting light, but I will boast in knowing Christ at the cross. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I'll trust in him no other, soul is satisfied in him alone. Two wonders here that I confess, my worth and my unworthiness, my value fixed, my ransom paid at the cross. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I'll trust in him no other, my soul is satisfied in him alone. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I'll trust in him no other, solely satisfied in him alone. Praise God. My soul is satisfied in Him alone. Amen. Praise God. We've come to join the song, sung long before our lives, to raise our voice along, heaven and earth alike. We've seen your faithful hand, your mercy without end, a King who bled and died, a God who sacrificed, being thrown upon the praises of a thousand generations. You are worthy, Lord of all. Unto you, the slain and risen King, we lift our voice with heaven, singing, worthy, Lord of all. All through this life we lead, on to eternity, our endless praise will cry, and Jesus be glorified. Through this life we lead, to eternity, our endless praise will rise, Jesus be glorified, Jesus be glorified. Being thrown upon the praises of a thousand generations, you are worthy, Lord of all. Unto you, the slain and risen King, we lift our voice with heaven, singing, worthy, Lord of all. Being thrown upon the praises of a thousand generations, you are worthy, Lord of all. Unto you, the slain and risen King, we lift our voice with heaven, singing, worthy, Lord of all. Highest praises, 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 you are worthy, Lord of all. Being thrown on the praises of a thousand generations, you are worthy, Lord of all. Lord of all. Unto you the Savior is a King. We lift our voices and sing you worthy, Lord of all. He enthroned upon the praises of a thousand generations. You are worthy, Lord of all. None to you the slain and risen King. We lift our voice with heaven, singing worthy, Lord of all. Being thrown upon the praises of a thousand generations, you are worthy, Lord of all. None to you the slain and risen King. We lift our voice with heaven, singing worthy, Lord of all. Being thrown upon the praises of a thousand generations, you are worthy, Lord of all. Unto you the slain and risen King. And it's our voice with heaven singing worthy, Lord of all, Lord of all. Praise God.
Good morning, everyone. Today is Wife Appreciation Day. How many is thankful for their wives? I tell you, Brother Jason, would you put Proverbs 18:22 on the screen? We're not ministering on this, but I want you to think about it. You know, we're so blessed to have who God places in our life. Look what the scripture says. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Just think, it was the favor of the Lord that brought your spouse into your life. Amen. I'm so thankful for my wife. When I'm weak, she's strong. When I'm up and down, she's always just straight as a string. And I'm very thankful for her. Put Proverbs 19:14 on there too, Brother Jason, if you don't care. I appreciate it so much. You know, a prudent wife is what I believe. I believe that's what the verse is. Houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Now, if you've got a wise wife in your life, God put her there, and you might want to listen to her sometime. Amen. Because I guarantee you, she thinks with a different side of her brain, and she takes information and processes it different, and she and all these things, and so she can be a blessing to you, because she can help you see things in a way, in a light that you wouldn't normally see it. Amen. So, husbands, I encourage you, do something for your wives. Let them know. Don't just say, well, they know. No, show them. Make sure they know. Amen. All right. I couldn't sleep last night. There was a war going on. And I just laid there and just prayed and prayed and prayed. And there's a lot of things that's happening in the church. Some of you know literally about it. Some of you just feel it in your spirit. But we're in a great struggle. And I mean, there is... The devil is doing everything he can to move people out of their place and position. And this is one of the ways that he's doing it, because all I heard in the spirit when I was praying, he said, I want you to tell my people, I want to show them how to conquer conflict and how to overcome offense. Because see, those two things, you're going to be in a battle, and you're going to have things that will be conflicted in your life. And if you yield to that source of confliction, if you agree with it, if you feed on it, then all of a sudden you're going to be offended. And the Lord has blessed us and He's poured out a new level of anointing. And some of you don't understand it, but you need to embrace it and need to respond to it. Because if you sit under this level of anointing and you don't respond to it, then the devil is going to move in your life and then you're going to turn against that. Because every time God tries to do something in your life and you sit there under that level of anointing and you don't respond to it, then the devil's going to get you in offense. And that's what we're seeing happening. And that's why we're seeing people, instead of coming closer together in the center of Christ, they're moving farther and farther out. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I don't know exactly how, even I don't even know how to minister this. I just had those words. Turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. And y'all pray that we'll just, every one of us have the mind of the Lord. Let's read these first six verses for a text. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, we'll start in verse number 1. When you're there, say amen. Then said he, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, then said Jesus unto the disciples, it is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him or her, the person through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Verse 5, look at this, how it startled the disciples. And it said, and the apostles. I wish we had time to get into that. See, when you hear a deeper level of the Lord, you move from just being His pupil to someone who's sent to take a new level of truth that will change people's lives. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it would, there's no doubt about it, it would obey you. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Lord, thank you for this day, Lord, and this opportunity to give us. Thank you for your marvelous mercy. Lord, let us open up our hearts, Lord, and spirit of in our lives. Let us open up our minds and be reconditioned. Let us put down things of old, pass down this. Place, Lord. Our love, Lord, and your son boldly, trying to call together for the love and unity.
Yes.
Never before. Pour out this discretion on them, Lord. Let us receive it in our lives, Lord. Let us step into it boldly.
Yes, Lord.
Run boldly. Thank you for it, Lord. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you once again for being here. Thank you for honoring the word. Thank you, Brother Donnie. I want you to know that the more trials and tribulations that you encounter, the more struggles that is coming against you, you don't need to be caught off guard about it, because the more that you read this Bible and the more that you start walking in the will and the way of the Lord by the power of the Spirit of God, the more that you're going to challenge people. And when you challenge people, they have two choices. They can look at your life and they can say, wow, Jesus is real. There's something to this. There's something better. There's something greater. Or they're going to say, I dare you. Who are you to judge me? I didn't judge you. You're the one that got in the presence of the Lord, and all of a sudden you got under conviction, but you're allowing satalamatasai. That's the biggest conflict this morning that we're dealing with. The conflict starts with God. People are in conflict with God because they're being challenged by the truth. And all of a sudden, when you're in conflict with God, guess what? You're going to be in conflict with everybody. There is no peace. If you're not in peace with Jesus, I don't care what you, I don't care how much money you got, I don't care what kind of car you drive, I don't care how up on the mountain you live, you don't have peace. And so what we've got to be in the place and the position is we're going to see all of these things happen, but you and I, we can't be moved. We can't be swayed. We've got to hold on to the one that we know and love, the one that first loved us. Amen. So notice here, Jesus makes this incredible statement. And see, you need to read the 16th chapter to see how he's talking about the scribes and the Pharisees understand that they're the ones that causes most of the conflict, most of the offense. Religious people cause problems. If you look, Jesus was teaching the truth in that 16th chapter in the 14th verse. He said, and the Pharisees also who were covetous heard all these things and they derided. They sneered at Jesus. See, that's what religious people do. They hear a word of God and then that religious spirit will tell them, oh, that's not God. But anyway, so here I want you to see this. I want you to get this in your heart. Jesus is in this place where he said, it's impossible. Offenses is going to happen. You're going to have a chance every day of your life to be offended. And so me and you have got to make a decision. We've got to make a choice. Am I going to be in the place and the position when this opportunity to be offended comes because I'm going to encounter all these different conflicts? What am I going to do? Am I going to be aware of what the Lord has told me? And am I going to be prepared? Am I going to put myself in a place and position of being the victim or being the victor? See, the devil wants you and I to have a victim mentality. I cannot watch television. You listen to television, the news, and these different shows, that's all they're doing is playing the victim card. It's always somebody else's fault. It's never their fault. Listen, everything I've caused in my life, I've done it myself. I followed the devil. I embraced the devil. I rejected what God had for me, and I got in trouble. But the moment that I accepted his grace and I repented and I allowed him to come in my life, then all of a sudden I seen I could have the things, the promises that's in this Bible. Amen. So we got to be so cautious. Don't let your mind be saturated by media. You need this Bible. I need this Bible. Now, you can listen to the Bible through media. Don't get me wrong about that. I'm not saying that. But I'm telling you, we're in this, the devil is called the prince of the power of the, for a reason. He controls the airwaves and he knows how to manipulate people. And he gets people in this place where they're always the victim. So the reason why we read these verses of scripture is because Jesus said you're going to always be in a place where you can be offended if you choose to. But you've got to be in the place where you say, now, wait a minute. Because God first loved me and he demonstrated that love, Romans 5:8, through Jesus Christ, and he forgave me. And then he gave me the ability, he gave me the anointing, he gave me the truth and the understanding to be able to forgive others. Even when I go through these conflicts, I don't have to be overcome by offense. Amen. Rather, I can overcome offense. I can conquer these conflicts by the word of God. But see, God's people, it said in Hosea 4:6, God himself said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So I need this Bible. Amen. I need this relationship. I need this intimacy. So you and I need to be in the place and the position where, notice what he said. He said, the person who's offended, it would be better in verse 2 that they were a millstone was hanged about their neck and they were cast into the sea. My, my, my. Is he just doing a hyperbole here? No, he's being truthful. So what you and I've got to say, that changes our attitude. See, all of a sudden, instead of us being offended in this conflict, we look at that person in that situation through the eyes of the Holy Ghost. And we see that the devil has a stronghold in their life because no doubt they were hurt and offended one time in their own life. And that opened up a door. And the devil brought in different hindering spirits, different influencing spirits, different directing spirits to get a hold of their life. And you and I, we look at them and we say, wait a minute, Jesus said that they'd be better off if they had a millstone around their neck and cast into the sea. That means that their judgment is going to be so great that instead of me thinking about me, I need to get my mind off myself. I need to think about the person the way that Jesus thought about me. See, I was that person that was offending people and didn't care about people, but only cared about me. But God still loved me. So I need to get myself in that situation where, no, you're not going to hurt me, but you're hurting God.
Yeah.
And you're dealing judgment to your own life. And so I got to be in that place where, look what he said. We read it. He said, verse 3, take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. We don't do this. Here's what we do. We get offended and we get in the corner and we talk about it. But then we go and we find somebody else who we know will agree with us because they don't like the person in the first place. And we crucify the person. And we're building up all of these things and we're loosing all of these words. And with each word comes a different spirit that works on those words. And what was a conflict is turning into a terrible offense. And the offense is being empowered. It's being built by those words and by loosing those things out of our life. Person come against the church this week. Didn't come to me. But no, they had all of these big ideals and reasons what was wrong, but they didn't come to me. Whether they like it or not, at this point in time, I'm the pastor. So you need to come to me. And we'll talk about it. Amen. We may not come in agreement, but guess what? We can be in love. We can be in love. So here Jesus is instructing us. Look what he said. He said, if a brother trespasses against you, rebuke him. In other words, we need to be able to talk to one another. You need to be able to tell me, hey, you've offended me. There's some conflict there. I need to be able to tell you. We need to be able to talk about it. We are adults. We're not children. Amen? And we need to, we may have disagreements because guess what? There's been a lot of things that I've disagreed about in my Christian life through the years that if I knew what I knew now, I would go back and I would say, you're right. I'm wrong. See, there's some things in your walk. Just think about your natural man as well as your spiritual man. There's some things, Brother Donnie, you couldn't tell your kids till you lived it out. Brother Larry, there's some things that you had to walk out and through life experience, all of a sudden, you had a whole different vision. But it was real and true to you at that moment, but you had to grow out of that moment and figure out how to be a success, how to overcome and all those things. And so here Jesus says, you need to be able to talk, but you need to be able to forgive. Look what it says, verse 4. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day and 7 times in a day, turn again to thee saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. I love it. There is such victory here. Now, somebody needs to hear this morning. I want you to understand this forgive, because here's what we say, and every one of us has heard it said. I have said it. I'll forgive them. Come on, finish it for me. I'll forgive them, but I'll never forget. That is a stronghold and a lie of the devil. God, he forgave me. And then Micah 7, he throw all of my sins in the sea of forgetfulness. See, if I hold that in my heart, then when I'm around that person, guess what? I'm going to let that influence my attitude around them. I'm going to let that influence what they say to me or what they do. All of a sudden, I can't get past it. I say I've forgiven them, and maybe I have in a part, but that other part is still there, and it influences. See, when I come to God and I truly repent, He puts His arm around me, and then He has truth and love and blessing for me. He doesn't let those things hinder me. Amen. Who am I? We've got to learn how to conquer this conflict. We can't let offense dominate and control our lives. So He said that you and I, that if we're willing to talk to somebody about, you know how many people is mad at people in church and the other person don't even know it?
Yeah.
Don't have a clue. If you get a big church, you'll have people who sit in certain places and they make sure that they don't go to the other section. Now, why am I talking about this? Because God is wanting to finish the book of Acts. He's wanting that we're getting closer and closer to the sounding of the trumpet. And you and I, we're writing the book of Acts, and He wants the book of Acts. He doesn't want it. That's the way it's going to be. The church is going to finish the way it started, in great power and glory. Exactly the way it started, that's the way it's going to end. You and I, we're going to testify and witness to the whole world that Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Amen? And it's going to be with great power and glory. But you and I have to be able to withstand that level of anointing. We have got to be right with God. And the only way we can be right with God is to be what? Walking in forgiveness and forgiving others. Don't let this conflict that you encounter, it's just for a moment. What we need to do, what God's trying to show me, conflict can show me problems in my own life. Where I can make my own life better. So if I don't ever have any conflict, I don't know I've got a problem. You know what I mean? But till you get into a situation, then you realize some things. So He said for me to forgive seven times seven in this particular verse. And look, it shocked them so much. And it said, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. They couldn't understand this. It was so what is this saying to us? It's saying to us that you and I, that we can forgive by faith.
Right.
By faith. In other words, your body's screaming.
Right.
Come on. You're foaming at the mouth. I mean, your mind is still going through this, all these things. But in your spirit, you can say, Father, I forgive them. And I want your help to forget just the way that you forgive and forget in my life. And see, then all of a sudden you give Him the legal right to start manifesting by the Spirit of God, the Word of God in your life that will make you free. Amen? If you notice, people who are very judgmental, you look at their life, you watch, they have nobody close to them. It's a lonely life. I've dealt with people that's come in and out of this church, and I wanted to help them. I wanted to be a blessing to them, but I couldn't be a blessing to them because they had such a judgmental spirit about everything. They wanted to, instead of and worshiping Jesus as Jesus, they wanted to argue about this or argue about that. Hey, those little opinions do not matter. If Jesus is Lord, that's the only thing that matters. Amen?
Yes.
Everything else will work it out. Know who, know what you can talk about to a person.
Right.
Amen? And use your words as salt. Use your words as edification. Sometimes you're talking to a babe, you can't talk to them about certain things.
Yeah.
Don't put them in a place where they don't need to hear that. I've got to learn to keep my mouth shut. Amen? Put Proverbs 19:11. See, you and I, we have discretion. We have discretion. We have the Holy Spirit in our life that will help us. Proverbs 19:11. The discretion of a man deferreth or stops his anger. See, you can be just as angry as you can be, and you can want to act on that anger. But you've got discretion. You've got the ability to step back away from it by the Spirit of God in your life, the Spirit of God in my life. And we can say, now, wait a minute. That upsets me, but I need to find out why it upsets me. I need to really see what's going on either in my life or their life. And I need to be in the place where I'm looking at them. Is this something that they're trying to bring offense in my life because of this conflict? If it is, Jesus said they were in trouble. And I love them because God told me to. Jesus said that we were to love and it would show that we were His what? His disciples, right? His own. Amen? The discretion of a man deferreth his anger. Look at, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. We don't have to tell everybody they're wrong. Amen? We can humble ourselves or we can be humbled. I'd rather humble myself. I don't like being humbled. Understand what I'm saying? So you and I, you're going to see things. Maybe that person can't even see it. They may be such a babe in Christ, or they may be in such a conflict or in such an offended state themselves that they don't even know or understand what's happened. There's been people sitting in these very seats. And the Spirit of God just touch and draw and draw and love on them. And I can look in their eyes and I can tell that spirit that has hurt them, that has hindered them, that's holding them. They cannot even receive and understand what's going on. And then I got to go home with that. And I got to ask God, why? What can we do? And then the more I pray for them, what do? They run away. Because they can't stay here. That spirit will not let them stay here. So you and I have got to be in the place and a position where we keep our hearts so soft and so tender that none of these things get a hold of us. Amen? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. This is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible of just pure instruction that will help you and I live like we need to live. But drop down to look at verse 26. You know these verses very well. Ephesians 4:26. Out of the mouth of the Apostle Paul by the unction of the Holy Spirit, he said, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." And notice the semicolon. So this verse is tied in with verse 27. And it could actually be, it's one sentence. "Neither give place to the devil." So you're going to come into conflicts in your life. And you're going to have an opportunity to be offended. And as you come into those conflicts, and here comes the offense, you've got to look and say, okay, that hurt my feelings. And when we get hurt, then we get angry. Okay? Well, the moment that you get angry, then here comes the choices. Because you're either going to have to choose to listen to the Holy Spirit or listen to the devil. Because the devil's going to tell you, hey, you had a right to get angry. And then he's going to tell you, if you accept that, he's going to tell you, since you've already got angry, you've sinned anyway, so you might as well just go ahead and take the next step. So he progressively leads us away from God's best, away from God's truth, away from the Lord himself. And so what I've got to do, I've got to say, now, wait a minute. He said, "Be angry and sin not." So I can, in a moment of time, I can get angry. I can get upset. But it's up to my power, my knowledge, my understanding that when that anger comes, I need to channel it.
Right.
See, the devil wants us to channel it against people.
Right.
But what you and I have got to do, we've got to channel that anger and say, wait a minute. I'm going to have this anger, which is a form of passion, instead of it being a passion for destruction. This is preaching a big church now. You better listen by the Holy Ghost. Passion can either build or destroy. You can have godly passion or you can have worldly or carnal passion. And so your anger, you can channel that into the things of God, and you can channel that into a passion where you say, wait a minute, that they've brought conflict in my life. They brought offense in my life. But Jesus said, how horrible it was going to be for them in the day of judgment. So I'm going to channel my passion towards, I'm going to say, Father, forgive them. Remember, Jesus is hanging on the cross. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not. Guess what? Neither does this person who's trying to offend you or bring conflict in your life. They don't know. 99 times out of 100, they do not know, because there is a spirit working in their life. And that spirit is at the certain times will get involved in their life. Other times in their life, everything's great. But at certain times, in certain seasons, here comes this spirit. And all of a sudden, their mind becomes cloudy. I can look in somebody's eyes and I can know instantly. I can't keep looking in their eyes, because after I look and I know, then I can't look any longer. Then I know what I need to do. And you need to know what you need to do. Amen. First of all, my heart needs to be tore to pieces for them, rather than going, well, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't do that. Every time I've said that, I've done it. Amen. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So I need to be in the place and the position where everything, I take it to the Lord in prayer. That's what the Bible teaches us, that we take everything to the Lord and I deal with it right now. And as I deal with it right now, then all of a sudden the devil doesn't have to put the effects on my mind. He doesn't have to put the effects on my body. Because those things that you and I hold, all of a sudden it wearies the mind, and it ultimately, it will destroy the body. So we've got to be in that place where we say, no, everything, I'm going to take it to the Lord. I'm going to deal with this. I'm not going to be ignorant. If you and I went out there and we started up our vehicle, I'll say this, and somebody come to me and they said, would you help me? And I said, I sure will. They said, why is my vehicle making this racket? And I was trying, I raised the hood and I was looking, trying to figure it out. And it would only make a racket when you turned uphill. And I said, have you checked the oil? Three quarts. See, sometimes we don't know what's happening. We don't know what's going on. You know what I mean? Because we've missed out. If we don't process, if we don't take care of things, things are not going to get better. They're going to get worse. Yeah. See, the devil wants you and I just to, oh, let's just cover it up. Well, I'll deal with it tomorrow. That's right, Brother Donnie. The tomorrow becomes in a week and a month and a year. And before you know it, this is the biggest stronghold in your life. Constantly, Brother Donnie, it builds, it builds, it builds, it builds. So he said for you and I not to give place to the devil. So what I'm doing when I hold on to that anger, I'm telling the devil, it's like opening up the door of my house and tell, hey, come on in, every thief, every robber. The door is unlocked, the windows are open, everything's ready for you. Just come right on in, make yourself at home. That's what we're doing spiritually. Right. We're telling the devil, we're saying, I give you a legal right to do whatever you want to do. Now notice what he says. Drop down to verse 29. Remember what we just what Brother Jason put up there in Proverbs 19:11. Let no corrupt, no rotten, no worthless communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer, that it may give grace. So I get angry and I've got a choice to make. Because I'm in this conflict, and I can stop the conflict, or I can let it offend me. And if it offends me, then I can turn it into a place where I start talking about it, and I start growing it. I start nurturing it. I used to sit around the table and listen to my parents and grandparents talk, and listen to these stories about the different troubles that they had had with different people. And some of them people was dead. By the time that evening was over, I was mad at the people and I didn't even know them. Right. Amen? Yeah. Well, I dare them. And now, that's it. And now I don't like their kids. The kids are like me. We can laugh all we want to. I'm telling you the truth this morning. We're in a mess right now. The devil he almost broke this church. You realize how close? I mean, it was the closest thing you've ever seen in my life. I prayed. I didn't know. I tell you, it weighed in the balance because you say, well, God wouldn't let that happen. Hey, we've got free will. God's got his way, but if I don't yield to it, if we don't yield to it, then that's too bad. God can only do what we... We got to be careful. We got to be careful. All right. He said, verse number 30, and grieve not, don't make sad, the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. So we're talking about going through these conflicts and being offended and about the anger coming and all those things. But and don't let any speech. Use that discretion to be able to hold down your anger. That Proverbs 19:11, Brother Jason, put up there where it talked about that it was seven times that same word translated understanding. You've got an understanding in your spirit because of the Holy Spirit bringing the Word of God alive to you. And so that understanding is that everything that you say is going to be negative or positive. Everything that you say is going to be either of God or of the devil. There's no in between. And so here he says, and grieve not. So in other words, since we've been talking about rotten or worthless communication, if I say something that's contrary to what this Bible says, it's I am grieving the Holy Spirit. I have said things and immediately I felt sad. And before I knew about this verse, I thought I was just sad because of the situation. But it was a deeper level of sad. It just wasn't sad in my mind. It was sad in my spirit. And I realized the one who lives in my spirit was sad. So I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't want to make him sad. I want to look what he said. Now he tied that together, the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Ghost for a reason, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. In other words, God's stamp of salvation is on your life, but God's stamp of salvation means that the Holy Spirit is inside of you and I to always bring us to truth. That seal it says that you are God's. And that means the relationship you can have with God as your Father, as Jesus as your Lord, as your Holy, as the Holy Spirit as your conductor, your guide. You have the ability in every situation not to fail. That's why he put it together. But see, you can grieve. I can grieve. I can stop the Holy Spirit. And I can say, I don't want that seal. See, there's a mark coming to this world. The mark of the beast is coming. That's the seal of the devil. When that mark comes, and if the people that accept that mark, they can no longer ever, ever, ever be saved. They cannot think. They can't understand the things of God. But see, you've got the sealing of the Holy Spirit. You're under Jesus Christ. Amen? So all you got to do is say, listen, Lord, how did you deal with all the people? Show me. You think he won't show you? He'll show you. He'll show you different ways and different circumstances where you won't have to be offended. Verse 31, he said, let all bitterness. Now, notice this. Now we read in verse 26, be ye angry. So angry is an emotion. It's a feeling. But if you hold on, it's an emotion. If you hold on to the emotion of anger, then it turns into a choice. See, I can get mad instantaneously, and it wasn't a choice. Jesus got mad and snorted like a horse, like a white stallion, it says in the Bible. Two other times he rolled up a cord and he run the people out. He was angry, but he didn't sin. So what I'm saying is you can get angry. I can get angry, but it's how we handle that angry. And see here, the anger turned into bitterness. Verse 31, let all bitterness, if we don't deal with it, it'll turn into bitterness. And wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So remember, you've got the seal of the Holy Spirit, and by the seal of the Holy Spirit is how you conquer conflict, is how you overcome offense. That this is how you handle it. This is what you do. You say, no, wait a minute. I'm not going to let this progress on the negative side. I'm not going to talk the negative talk. I'm going to talk what God says. God says that I am more than a conquer, amen, that you always triumph. He says that the love of God is being shed abroad in my heart. So I'm a loving entity by the power of the Spirit of God. I got this seal. And so I'm going to put all of this other stuff away from me. Did he say he would do it or you do it? Let all bitterness you be put away from you with all malice by that seal. You've got to let the seal work in your life. Amen? Okay. And then when you do that, look what happens all of a sudden. Verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake, pardon, this is the word pardon, has forgiven, has pardoned you. Oh my goodness. So see, the moment that you stop the speech, the moment that I stop the speech, and the moment that we decide to depend upon the seal of the Holy Spirit in our life, that changes everything. Then all of a sudden, tenderness and love and forgiveness takes over our life instead of the other. Okay, I know you're getting tired, but in closing, real quick, this just come to me. Go to Matthew chapter 5. I don't think we understand how important this is. Matthew chapter 5, look what it says starting in verse 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Remember, that's what we were talking about in Luke 16 before we got to our text in Luke 17, that religious spirit. That your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. See, they tried to keep 613 laws. They couldn't do it. You and I, we can't keep the Ten Commandments, let alone 613 that this had boiled into. Verse 21, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Come on, under the Old Testament. Whosoever thou shalt kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Verse 22, but Jesus said, but I say unto you, now see, all of a sudden, we're getting a deeper level of truth. We're getting a deeper level of anointing. God is bringing them from being an external God in the Old Testament to an internal God in the New Testament. And so with a deeper level of truth, with a deeper level of anointing, you have a deeper responsibility. That's why the church has got to line up where God can do what he wants to do in these last days as he done in the first days. Amen? But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, or Baranus, infidel, someone who's not possible to be saved, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. And that fool is really, I guess, is the Moranus, is the deeper level instead of Rekha. Rekha is just insipid, an insipid person. So let me correct that. But here's why we came here. Verse 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Now we're talking about offense, overcoming offense and conquering conflict. And Jesus said, if you travel, now think about what Jesus is teaching here. Jesus is under the old covenant, and he's talking about people traveling all around and coming back to Jerusalem for the feast, coming to the temple. And he said, I don't care how far you traveled, when you get there and you start to offer your sacrifices unto God, and then it's brought back to you that there's an offense between you and your brother, you leave it there. I don't want it. And you go back. These people might have traveled no telling how many miles. You understand what Jesus is saying? But yet we want to come to church and just, oh, everything's great. I love Jesus. No, he don't want to hear it. Come on, don't get mad at me. I'm telling you the truth now. We've got to get in a place where we recognize our heart needs to be soft and tender, and we need to be forgiven, but we need to forgive. We need to recognize there was a great cost here. And so you and I need, just as they would have to go all of these miles back and make the things right, you and I, we need to go back, make things right to the best of our ability. Some people won't let you make things right. But see, if you've made them right, in God's eyes, it's right, whether they accept it, receive it or not. Some people won't forgive you. Some people don't want anything to do with you. That's not your fault. You've done what God said to do, and as long as you've done what God said to do, then everything's okay. Amen? Now look what he said, last verse, and I'll let you go. He said, agree with thy adversary in your own time. Well, I don't feel like it today, Brother Bradley. I'm not ready. Who's that hurting? Agree with that adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge and the judge deliver thee to the officer and thou be cast into prison. Let's look at this from a natural standpoint where we can better understand it. Say, like you're going to go to court, you're going to go to trial about something. How many times do we see people settle out of court where they can just get it took care of, and it is at a lower price usually, you know, because you got a chance of either winning or losing or whatever. But I want you to just look at it from a natural, trying to paint a picture of the spiritual. God is saying, if you don't take care of this now, what's it going to be like when you stand before him? Agree with your adversary. In other words, make things right. Do you realize there's some things that the Lord's wanting to do in this church and he can't do it? Because there's some things that people are holding on to, making it bigger than God. Agree with that, Andrew. We need to take care of these things because, see, it's bigger than you and I, because we're going to stand before God one day, and if we don't do this, I'm going to have to look at that screen. Now, I'm still going to be at the Bema. I'm going to be at the judgment seat because I've been forgiven. I've been sealed. But God's going to show me what could have been. And there's my rewards that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that was built on wood, hay, and stubble. And they went up in smoke. It's a serious thing. And Jesus said, if I cause one of those little ones to fall, then we're moving from a whole different ball game. If I cause them to go to hell, we need to be cautious. We need to be cautious about what decisions we make, because I don't want to go through hell on earth, and I sure don't want to go to hell after this life. Amen. I want to be in the place where I keep that seal. I know that seal's there. I know that God saved me. I'm walking in humility. I'm walking in obedience, and I'm allowing Him to correct me. Amen. You're allowing Him to correct you. See, when Cain killed Abel, and God come down and he said, your brother's blood is crying out to me. See, in the Hebrew, that word blood is all the lineage that would have come through Abel's life. Every one of them is crying. See, now they're going to have to be born in the millennium and have to grow up in the millennium and have to go through the same trials and tribulations, the testing that you and I do, and overcome that last. Remember, the devil's going to be loosed for a season. See, nobody gets a free ride. Well, everybody's going to be tempted the same way. The word this morning is be encouraged, because God says, I'm going to help you conquer every conflict. I'm going to teach you how not to be offended, where your heart won't hurt no more. No more. Some of you are still living on things that happened years ago, and your heart is there. It's raw, and it's still bothering you. God wants to help you with it today. Father God, in the name of Jesus, to the best of my ability, I've spoke out of my spirit. I spoke out of what I believe with all of my heart that you have placed there. And I asked you that as a group of people that are hungry for you, that are willing to allow you to prune us and purge us, we ask that you'd bring the Holy Ghost in fire and burn the dross out of our life. Let the light of the Word of God, let the truth by the Holy Spirit shine light in the deepest, darkest corners of our being. And Lord, today, let this be the day that we get past some things. That we conquer all conflict and we overcome all the offense of the past. Yes, there'll be more tomorrow. But today, you want to do some healing in our lives. You want to take care of some things that's in the past. And let the past be the past. And let us not live from that moment of time, but live from the relationship of the here and now in the presence, the gift of God. Let it be, Father. I ask you in Jesus' name. Would you come this morning and make yourself an altar and say, Lord, here I am. I want everything that you have for me. I want to rest in you. I don't want to be controlled or dominated by anything of the past. He'll bless you. He'll help you in every way. He loves you so much. He's got so much more for you than what the devil has to try to hurt and hinder you. Hallelujah.